By the role of women in this movement, again, because we have these ideas of paramilitary culture as being hyper-masculine, actually women were doing an incredibly important job in this movement in interconnecting groups, in marriages that maintained group alliances, in recruitment, and also in actual activism in their own right. Women worked disguising fellow members for violent action and may have even been involved in the writing of some key movement texts.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Kathleen Ballou's book is called Bring the War Home, The White Power Movement in Paramilitary America. She's an assistant professor of history at University of Chicago. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up this morning on KBOO, next, Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show looks at the GOP's latest attempts to dismantle the Endangered Species Act. At 9 on Alternative Radio, journalist and author Jeremy Scahill says American journalism can go one of two ways, truth or propaganda. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary, and at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, DMAE features artists from the 20th Annual Just Add Water Playwrights Festival happening this weekend. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, on the Portland Art Museum's curator of modern and contemporary art talks about the new exhibit of drawings and paintings from artist Richard Diebenkorn.
KBOO is celebrating 50 years of broadcasting and the many people who are part of KBOO's history.
I came down to the Salmon Street Studios, where the federal courthouse is, the first official home of KBOO.
Came into this rather bizarre situation where we were in the basement of an attorney's office.
And at that meeting, he said, well, I'm just going to let you know that when your lease is up in about 18 months, we will not renew your lease. We will extend it for up to 6 months at double the rent.
When I was hired, they said, we want to be on the air by the end of July. And I went, whoa, how much money do we have to pull this off? And they said, we got $11,000. How are we going to build this facility with $11,000?
To hear the stories of people who helped make KBOO what it is today, go to 50yearsofkboo.fm and click on KBOO Stories Project.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Rosewood Health Fair on Thursday, July 16th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Rosewood Family Health Center in Portland. The Rosewood Health Fair will provide health and wellness resources to the community, along with sports, physicals, and immunizations for children. There will be food, games, prizes, and a variety of community resources for families. Again, that's Rosewood Health Fair on Thursday, July 16th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Rosewood Family Health Center, 8935 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found on the kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Indigo Gardens, located in East Portland, providing fresh-cut floral design for weddings, events, and personal bouquets. Indigo Gardens also offers a weekly summer bouquet CSA. More information is available by phone at 503-421-1435 and online at indigogardenspdx.com.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen.
Sound of an old dead white crooner can mean only one thing on a Tuesday morning.
What's that?
It's time for the Abe and Joe Show.
Well, does that imply that we are nearly dead, old white bad not singers?
Does it even matter at this point? I'm in a mood this morning, Joe.
You are. You are in a foul mood.
Yeah.
Why? Are you?
Why?
Are you?
Why?
Are you committing the sin of despair?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm way past despair.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. I've taken a tour through the seven deadly sins, not even getting the good ones.
I was going to say, some of those sins are fun.
Yeah, no, others not so much.
Really?
Hi, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Program. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Of course, this is KBOO 90.7 FM, your community-supported radio station in Portland and vicinity.
That's Abe Proctor. Me too. That's Abe Proctor. I'm Joe Uris. We really want to hear from you, but also we got a lot to say.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
why am I in a mood?
Why are you in a mood?
Have you looked around? Have you been under a rock?
Well, it's a little warm out.
Yeah, it's a little warm out.
You think that's a global thing?
I do, yes. Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah, but seriously, what the hell's going on, man?
About?
Everything.
Okay, the whole structure of our system, from the Constitution on, was basically a system of protections against mass politics. In fact, the original Founding Fathers didn't want political parties. That quickly became an unrealistic expectation. The system continued to work more or less, built on an evil system of slaughtering Native Americans and enslaving African Americans. That all was just sort of ignored for a long, long time.
Subjugating women.
And so, oh, didn't mean to exclude that one. Yeah, subjugating women. Well, not subjugating, because it would imply there was a point when women were free, and I don't think that was a case much in history. At any rate, women were under the thumb, and the whole system was a system that was barely democratic, that is, small d democratic. And now we have moved beyond all that to a place where that you and I grew up, different generations, but we grew up in a hopeful world. We thought, oh, we could maybe avoid nuclear war. Oh, we could maybe see the liberation of nation states throughout the world. We thought, well, everybody could earn a living wage, and we could have a system that gave health care and so on. Well, no. I mean, simply, no. For a lot of reasons, that's not going to happen. But the most crucial thing that's being ignored by people like you and I think, is the fact of environmental degradation. The actual damage being done to the world in the process of this fascist takeover, and it is that, is unprecedented and incredibly irreparable, I'm afraid. And that's why I get so depressed. And I think that has something to do with your anger.
Yeah, I think you're starting to touch the surface here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So here's my question then to you. If this is, as you just sketched out, the problem which humanity faces right now.
Well, I don't think it's the problem. I think it's a major problem.
Climate change?
Yeah.
I would say it's the problem.
Well, it's the existential problem. It's like seeing a horrible storm coming your way and everybody's outside in shorts.
I'm sorry. That one looks
fine. Never mind.
Okay. It's not like that at all, but all right. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, if that is the existential crisis facing humanity right now.
Yeah.
And we look around and we see that in that context, it matters very much who holds the reins of power, does it not?
Yes.
And the guy holding them now, or whatever it is he's doing with them, is clearly not helping this existential situation one bit, is he?
No.
No.
No, no. In fact, I actually have a small thing I want to say.
All right.
I wrote it down ahead of time.
Okay.
It's that bad. Okay. First of all... here's the situation as I see it. We, and when I use the term we, this is always a shifting conditional, the we. Anyway, we have always fouled up nature in the pursuit of wealth. This is an important point.
And, human beings?
Pardon me?
Human beings.
Human beings, yes. Wealth, I suspect, and this is my theological, psychological argument, is some sort of totemic notion of living forever. In other words, to have vast wealth implies somehow psychologically that you're immune to the fact of death. Now this is something that is not conscious, it's unconscious, but it's virtually powerful and very much real for people like the bump.
Well, you know, okay, I'd say that's true if you're, you know, Pharaoh Ramses II, but that hasn't been true now. People are sophisticated enough to realize that the acquisition of wealth is no guarantee against the encroachment of death, well, right? I think the motivation is something else entirely.
They're not. They're in a totemic relationship with their money, which they believe, if worshipped strongly enough and gained largely enough, can somehow, irrationally, avoid the inevitable.
No, I think you swung and a miss on that one.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay,
I'm
well,
right.
Finish.
Anyway,
finish erecting your house of cards, and then I'll blow it down. Go ahead.
Now, the energy folks trading on the futures of energy essentially in their quest for the black gold, the oil, the under the ground stuff, are anxiously attempting to destroy any progress in the direction of a healthy environment. They don't seem to know, or more importantly, they don't seem to care. They're looking at it in a single generational idea. And that implies to me that they don't realize the nature of nature. That is that we all die.
Okay.
You don't like that theological stuff, do you?
No, I don't. I don't. I don't think the acquisition of wealth is tied to
fear of death.
Well, it might be tied to fear of death, but I don't think it's tied to subconscious need to transcend death. Maybe in terms of, you know, if I'm wealthy enough and famous enough and if I do enough things, people will say my name long after I'm dead. There's that drive for distinction.
Well,
but that's always existed, right?
Well, yeah. But how do you explain the fact that the extremely wealthy are not satisfied with their extreme wealth and want more?
Here's why. Because we're monkeys, Joe. We are monkeys. We are primates. And at the end of the day, there are always those among us whose job in life, whose animating principle is to be the biggest monkey in the room, to be the alpha, right? And that, at all costs, is what must be obtained.
Well, I'm
that is why people accrue wealth. That is why people drive for distinction. That is why people try to get just a little bit more before they die.
I'm not sure that my thing gets in the way of your thing or vice versa.
Oh, okay.
Then enough talk of things. I think we ought to talk about the facts.
No, I'm not done talking about things.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, go, right, go,
so
go.
Case Exhibit A, our president. He is a perfect example of a guy for whom being the alpha is the end-all be-all.
That's true.
His whole life, that's who he's wanted to be.
Yes.
Not only personally, but he's also wanted to be admitted into that elite club of fellow alphas, right? In his case, New York society, which has always rejected him.
Yeah.
Because he's crass. He's boorish.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care. It's power. It's power over others. We've talked in the past about how Trump's conception of winning and losing is a bipolar one, right? In order for Trump to win, you have to lose. And the only way he knows he's won is if he can look at you and see you losing.
I think I agree with that. There's no argument here.
Part of
that.
His alpha complex. So he is a walking, living, breathing example of this tendency amongst primates, which from a pre-human society level confers an evolutionary advantage, right? If you're an alpha, then you get all the first choice of mates, and there's a much greater chance that you're going to pass your genes on to future generations, right?
I agree with all that.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. In a modern context, most everybody has the opportunity to pass on their genes, but alphas still get their first choice of all the most desirable mates. And that is a big part of Trump's psyche. That is a big part of what animates other alpha males' psyches. And that is a big part of what drives Trump's support. They're not offended by his actions. When he says, grab them by the whatever, they don't get bent. They're like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I wish I was that guy. I wish I was the alpha. I wish I could have all the women I want and all the money I want and all the status I want, and everybody would have to dance to my tune. That's what animates primates, except for those of us who like to think we're better than all that.
Well, you know, you really are on a tear here. I'm very pleased that you're outraged in a dark way. And I also want to emphasize what we're going to really be talking about, and we're going to get calls about this. I think it's very important. That is, we now know from the lead article in the New York Times yesterday and every paper, including the Oregonian yesterday, warning that the Trump administration has decided to make war on the environment. They're going to do away with the protection of animals. They're going to do away with almost anything you could name that could, in fact, amount to a good policy toward the environment. And they are always in denial about the consequences of that activity, because they do, though they may pretend to be the leaders, the alpha males, whatever, the fact of the matter is they are very much dependent on the very powerful energy industry, which is dominant in the Republican mindset.
Right.
And so no more wolves, no more pretty little sage grouse, no more strange little beetles, no more anything. Instead, we have big holes in the ground pulling out fossil fuels, which are already antiquated, given that we now know how to make power and heat with and cooling with the sun and with the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's at the root of opposition to the Endangered Species Act?
What's at the root of opposition to the Endangered Species Act
from business people?
Well, from the industrial capitalist sector. It gets in the way of producing fossil fuel.
It gets in the way of producing fossil fuels, right? And a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Gets in the way of resource extraction.
Right.
It gets in the way of where you want to graze your herd of cows.
Well, yeah, that's an Oregon story of some significance.
In the way of people's drive to be the alpha.
Yes, and I'm arguing a thing beyond this. I'm looking at a virtually theological, because I don't know what other word quite works, assumption that there is a totemic meaning to wealth that is deeply rooted, not just in the alpha notion of the alpha, the most powerful, but deeply rooted in the idea of the ineffable idea of a human being surviving beyond their time.
Okay.
So that's a theological idea. I think I'm right, but I can't prove it.
Okay, fair enough.
Because of my religion, you know.
Because of your religion?
Yeah, my religion, the Church of the Ineffable Vagueness.
You're a godly man.
Yes. The Church, no God. The Church of the Ineffable Vagueness. We know there might be something out there, but we have absolutely no idea what it really is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can join.
What are your holidays?
Every day's a holiday with us.
What does a religious service look like?
Kind of naked dancing in the forest.
Is there a temple of ineffable vagueness?
This, the world.
Is there a holy text?
Yes. Uh-huh. Many holy texts.
Many holy texts?
Many.
Uh-huh.
Many.
It sounds ineffably
Treasure
vague.
Island is a holy
it's
text.
It's all very ineffably vague.
Yes, of course.
All right. Endangered Species Act. What is it? It's one of those rare pieces of legislation that actually prioritizes something rational and good over the endless acquisition of stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It has for about 45 years protected hundreds, literally, of species whose ecological niches have been endangered by capitalist extractive activities.
Well, and I don't think it's just, this is important too, unfortunately, it's not just capitalist. It is, in essence, a kind of stupidity of humankind that we can control the environment to the extent that we can mess with it totally and it'll all be fine.
Yeah, that's also biblical, that notion.
Yeah.
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 You should have dominion over the earth.
Yes.
And everything that walks on it.
Yeah.
And swims in the seas.
And crawls on the land.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
So the Endangered Species Act has been a remarkably forward-looking and powerful piece of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
One that anybody who has any concern at all for the ecological state of the world, or indeed for the conditions that led to our own evolution, everybody should be a fan of this act. We need more things like this.
Gets in the way of money making.
Yeah, tough, man.
Gets in the way of old-fashioned technology, which we're wedded to because we don't have to spend as much money drawing the stuff as we would have to invest in really building reasonable wind and solar power.
Yeah, we're also wedded to it because the fossil fuel extraction has greased the skids on the route to being an alpha, and many people don't want to give up that.
That's not just a metaphor, the greasing there, is
it? No, it isn't.
No, I think that you got to understand that, for example, what's happening right now all over the United States and in many places in the world is the building of pipelines which inevitably leak, which put fossil fuels into the land, destroying the land. This is going on all over. If you look at Louisiana, which has always had a problem with its valuable fossil fuels, in Louisiana, they are destroying the wonderful lands that make up the cultural and the physical world of the swamp, of the wildlands, of the Mississippi River Delta. It's really real, and it's really happening really fast, and the pipelines are a major force in that. And it's not just me. I mean, I'm just reading out of the Earthworks Journal, for example.
Yep. Well, pipelines have been a recurring theme on this program.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and we've also talked in the past about, and we don't have this data at our fingertips right now, I apologize. We've talked about the nation's vast network of pipelines, literally thousands of miles,
yes,
carrying things like gasoline and natural gas and so on, and just how many accidents there are every single year.
Well, Well, and before Earthworks got the technologies to show that methane was going into the atmosphere from these so-called natural storage areas, like in California, until we had that technology, there was denial the whole time. The fact of the matter is, we are pouring poisons into the air to make money.
All the time.
Yeah.
Quoting from the New York Times piece yesterday, In the past 2 weeks, more than two dozen pieces of legislation, policy initiatives, and amendments designed to weaken the law have been either introduced or voted on in Congress or proposed by the Trump administration. The actions included a bill to strip protections from the gray wolf in Wyoming and along the western Great Lakes, a plan to keep the sage grouse, a chicken-sized bird that inhabits millions of oil-rich acres in the West, from being listed as endangered for the next decade, and a measure to remove from the endangered list the American burying beetle, an orange-flecked insect that has long been the bane of oil companies that would like to drill on the land where it lives. These guys are really mad that there's a bug. There's a bug.
Well, there's a bug in the system. Right. Hey, we got a lot of callers.
We do. Let's go to the phones. Cody, good morning. Good morning.
Daniel, hi, here.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, okay, hey. I'm the number one caller. I have 3 points really quickly.
Okay.
One is, I love your show. It's going great, but that's not one of the points. let me tell you this. As to bring to your case in regard to the ego, why do they call it trophy hunting? I mean, right there it is. You know, you get a trophy, you get praise, you get ego boost. Whatever it is, it's up and down the CEO lines in this trophy hunting. Either be Jimmy John's, which all of America is going to go to today, and they're going to enjoy that Jimmy John's sandwich, knowing the CEO is blasting lions in Africa and having their heads, you know, cut off and mounted. And then he's talking about it with Trump and maybe a Papa Murphy CEO. Long story, or Papa John, sorry to bring up the sponsors, if they are. Second, you know, me and my wife, you know, I'm about 32 age, and we decided not to have kids because of the future. I figure, you know, everyone says, you know, kids, 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 but when I look at the future and there's no environment for them to enjoy, when the last Congo ape dies, when the last whale dies, they inherit their parents' crappy 401k, and they think they have a life ahead of them at Disneyland. I don't think that's the case in this new society, in this new world. I don't want my kids growing up like that. And, you know, I want them to experience some beautiful things. And I just don't understand how parents from GOP families take their kids to the zoo. I don't even understand why they send them to OMSI. Why are they doing that then? You know, close.
You mean
up.
Like, why bother?
Why bother? And third, and in closing, it's all about communication. You know, I speak like this every day with people. With, hey, you know, the world's about to end when the last ape dies, the Congo dies, the last bee breathes its air. That's when the end of the world is. It's not when it physically is gone. It's when the most beautiful things have disappeared and our children have nothing but a screen to stare at it, and they're okay with that. And parents are okay with that. They vote that way, and they don't understand. And I just don't get it. I'm glad I'm the number one caller. I love your show. I get a chuckle when people tell you to be happy in an unhappy world sometimes. It's great. So enjoy.
Wow.
Thanks. Thanks for the call.
I'm not the only one who's in a mood.
That was a screed, was it not?
It was, yeah, and that's a very good call. Yeah. A couple points. I'm a little ambivalent about your choice to have children. Obviously, it is your choice and no one else's. On the one hand...
Well, you're a breeder.
On the one hand, I applaud your choice. It is probably, when one weighs all the factors at play... a rational choice to not bring any more people into this world.
Yeah.
But that's the second time. That's a deeply melancholy choice, because now this man and his wife, who seem like good people, are going to be denied one of the best parts of being human, which is raising children.
You know what T.S. Eliot said?
No, what did he say?
It ends not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Yeah, that's true. absolutely. You're forced to wonder why. You know, why do people who consistently vote and comport themselves and follow a lifestyle that is undermining our global ecosystem? Why do these people even bother to teach their children to value wildlife or beautiful places? Because they're all going away.
Well, what are zoos about?
Well, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, really, I grew up a lot of my life in San Diego, and in those days, long ago, the San Diego Zoo was free, and I liked to go and draw the animals and look at them. And eventually I established a sort of a relationship with some bears where I could get them to do stuff for a piece of bread.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. great bear trainer I am.
Let's go back to the phone.
Especially if they're caged.
Good morning. This Cody?
Abe and Joe, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good. How are you, sir?
Good. I'll make this quick. I'm trying not to get too caught up in emotionalism that's going on in this very intense propaganda war going on between the left and the right now. And I want to understand, Joe brought up the thing with the pipelines. He's right. I mean, I think Syria, I think there was a big dispute about pipelines going through Syria, which is why they all of that death and mayhem had entered into that country. And that was during the Obama administration. And look, I'm not making blame here. I'm just saying is I wish people were this intense when Obama was doing anything, but he was really good at anesthetizing everyone and taking them off of the edge that we are experiencing at an emotional level this morning from the two of you. And that's all great. It's just that I hope we hold on to this because, I mean, Trump's not going to be president for that long, and I hope everybody holds on to this. And also I like to bring up, as far as everyone getting upset, is there are an awful lot of strange bedfellows going on between everyone here, especially with the politics and all this. And I'm kind of backing away and watching right now, you know, with Brennan and all these guys and how Brennan and Clapper is lining up with the liberals on going after these people. I'm going, man, this is strange, man. So it's as far as the yes, we're very much baboons. I think that we have the technology and the renewables, but we really need to talk about the oil cartel and how they have humanity on a stranglehold. And how people really have to get serious about really looking at what's going on instead of being emotionalist like baboons. I mean, I think that's what separates us, I think. I don't know. You guys are the smart guys here. I'm just our everyday guy. And
sounded pretty smart to me, man.
Well, listen, we're everyday guys that happen to be on the radio. Don't take us as super wise or something.
Well. And is that when A brought up power monkeys, he's so right. If anyone looks into baboon psychology, they'll see how Machiavellian and political baboons are with one another. And we're not that much different, especially when we start getting caught up in this consumerism and our lifestyle. We are the leaders in our lifestyle in this country, and that's why people are trying to migrate to this country, because they want to live in this lavish lifestyle. Remember, United States has streets of gold, and everybody wants a piece of this. So we have to ask ourselves, what type of example are we setting for the rest of the world as regular Americans? You know, so... Yeah, I'll let you guys go win. And please, let calmer heads prevail, man, because people are being knocked off of their centers with the present political atmosphere right now. And I'm wondering, wow, don't you guys see a lot of these inconsistencies that seem to be going on in this intense propaganda war and how it's pulling out all of this emotionalism? Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Well, it's too bad. I wanted to ask you a quick question before you're gone, but I'll ask it more rhetorically.
Rhetorically?
If people are knocked off of their centers right now by what's going on, and I like that metaphor. That's nice. Is this not a perfect time to try and get people to resettle in a more enlightened place? If people are knocked off center now, where are they going to come to rest?
My position is we've always been off center. In fact, the center, as the poet said, does not hold.
That's
true. This is really true. And it's always been, from the very beginning of this society and probably many societies, that it's all built on myths and on contradictions that cannot be resolved peacefully. So we are in a human terror situation all the time. It becomes more or less obvious when something extremely creepy and weird like Donald Trump happens, we're all thrown off. The Democrats, for example, a political party, have no idea, should they move to the left, should they move to the right? They should, of course, become social Democrats, and they should, of course, be the real opposition, but they don't have the courage to do that yet. And on the other side, the Republicans have turned in effectively into a fascist party. They used to be a conservative party. The difference is very real, but right now they are embracing an opportunistic fascist organizational model.
Okay. I'll buy that. Sure. Yeah. If things aren't already off kilter and emotional enough today this morning, let me just throw some tinder on that fire. I'm going to say to everybody listening right now, that you need to get behind Democratic candidates this
fall. No matter what.
And in future elections. Now, I know that many of you out there are disgusted and dismayed and demoralized by what you have seen as the denigration of the Democratic Party over the decades. The transformation from what once was a proud and strong champion of working people into a slightly left of center, corporate friendly, mushy centrist party.
Yeah.
Right? I share those frustrations. But right now, we don't have any other options. The Democrats have to be our instrument. So if you, like I suspect many of you are, agree with what Joe and I are saying today and with what our callers are saying today, you need to get behind the Democrats. And if you feel they're not sufficiently progressive or liberal, then you need to push them in that direction. And if you want to start building a third party movement at the local level, fine, go right ahead and do that. But we need to take action now. There are things we need to do, not only to keep ourselves, or let me back that up a second, not only to attempt to move forward, but to halt some of the horribly corrosive and destructive acts that are being taken right now by the president and his enablers in Congress.
You know what?
What?
I think I'm going to explore the Democratic Socialists of America, DSA.
Uh-huh.
It was formed out of the collapse of the Communist Party and the weakness of the Socialist Party. Barbara Ehrenreich, a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. was one of the founders. Michael Harrington, who wrote The Other America, a founder. I think this is a movement that is both democratic and socialist and is worth following. So I'm going to explore it. I'm going to go to meetings. I'm going to see if I can stand hanging out with other people. You know how I am. And I think that may be the thrust of my political activity outside of this.
I hope that won't be the extent of it.
Well, you know, I went down to occupy the fascist headquarters for deportation, etc. And it was very disorganized. There are a lot of different kinds of people there. I wouldn't call them people with different political tendencies because there's a lot of entrepreneurial craziness involved. But this is not just a repeat of what happened with Occupy Wall Street. This is the beginning of what could turn into a mass movement of the people to oppose horrible totalitarian behaviors on the part of the Trump administration. But that also cannot be effectively organized without an overarching theoretical model. And my model is social democracy. And that allows capitalism at a limited level. You know, you can get rich and you can enjoy yourself, but it limits it, and it requires that there be guaranteed national health care, that it requires guaranteed national income, guaranteed education, and so on. And that is, to me, something you can accomplish within the framework of a democracy.
I would agree. And for those of you who may be disagree and tempted to call, I encourage you to do that. But I would add to this, yes, to that list, we need to add strong environmental protections.
Yes.
And the last thing you said, I think, is the most important thing, that these things can be accomplished within the framework of the democratic institutions we have. That is our best choice. In fact, it is our only choice. The alternative to working within our existing democratic institutions is civil war. And that is a road that nobody wants to go down. So I'm saying to you right now, progressives, liberals, leftists, whatever you want to call yourselves, if you want things to get better, you got to hold your nose and vote for Democrats this fall. And not just that, you got to dig in your pockets and you got to give to candidates in districts where Democrats have a fighting chance to win. The House needs to be taken back because we need to exercise a constitutional remedy to this degenerate that sits in the White House. That is impeachment. And the only way that's going to happen is if the Democrats gain control of the House. And now I don't care how much you disdain the Democratic Party, they have to be our instrument right now.
Well,
there is no other way.
I agree with you, except I would add that impeachment is not a solution because that brings us Pence.
I don't care, man.
The Christian fundamentalist weird guy.
Let us deal with one weird guy at a time. Let's knock the first one down and then deal with the next one. In fact, okay. There's a very good chance, though.
And after Pence comes Ryan.
There's a very good chance, though, that Pence may be implicated in the same criminal investigations that are going after the president and his cronies right now.
Yeah.
I agree. For obstruction of justice at the very least.
That's very possible.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Shabda? Am I saying that right?
Good morning. It's Shabda.
Okay. Okay.
I have there's a solution guy coming to town very soon. Very amazing man. His name is Paul Stamets. He's a leading mycologist in the world. Mycology is mushrooms.
Right, right.
So he's got a book called Mycelium Running, and he's talking about using mushrooms to decompose plastic to help get rid of radiation. Another thing that he comes up with Terrence McKenna is a hypothesis of where the human being actually came from. Before there was humans, there was monkeys and apes. Monkeys and apes eat more mushrooms than humans by 100 times.
Well, let's be accurate here. Before there were humans and monkeys and apes, there was a common ancestor to all of those things.
True.
Okay, go ahead.
But there was an evolutionary period that the scientists are still trying to figure out where we started speaking and things. Paul Stamets and Terrence McKenna come up with the hypothesis that there was a group of monkeys hunting in the savannah deserts. They're following the prey, knowing that if they attack their prey today, some of them won't get hurt. They decided to follow it another day. And the prey was leaving behind scat. There was mushrooms there. The monkeys started eating the mushrooms, and a couple days later they decided, hey, we're no longer monkeys. We're humans. Now in 1972 a bureaucrat
there's an existential decision by the monkeys to be human? Is that what you're saying?
Magic mushrooms?
The hypothalamus is the youngest part of the brain, and entheogens seem to help evolve that part of the brain. In 1972, a bureaucrat went to the UN to make all entheogens illegal because entheogens open up your heart, make you more empathetic. That's not good for a warring capitalist nation. We don't want entheogens. We don't want open hearts. We want people that use alcohol that anesthetize themselves and continue doing the same thing, going to war and so forth. If we start looking into mushrooms and bring back our evolutionary period and help develop our heart, a lot of these things would go away. As far as global warming, mushrooms again, there's an answer there.
Okay.
Anyways, Paul Stamets is coming to town September 20th.
Okay.
Newmark Theater. Tickets go on sale today. He's a solution guy.
All right. Hey, well, thank you very much for the call.
I'm not so sure. I don't know. I'm not sure that psilocybin or mescaline is a solution to the problems.
No, but I'm intrigued about this idea of using decomposers like mushrooms to break up plastics and such.
No,
and
so, that's true.
Yeah,
that's a valid thing. But the image of these monkeys eating scat, I'm going to be very polite here, seems to me kind of weird.
I'm going to go ahead and posit that there is an absolute and complete lack of any documentation of that event.
Well, maybe there is.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Who's next?
Dougie,
good morning.
Good morning. I need some magic mushrooms like that Homo sapien is taking.
Well, my position on that is probably it can't hurt.
maybe that will snap me out of my depression in the era of fascist Trump Pence.
Well, actually, the use of psychedelics in dealing with depression is documented. So anyway, go ahead.
I definitely could use some. Well, I agree with your previous call. I mean, your previous statement. I joined DSA about 6 years ago, and it's amazing that after Bernie ran and the Trump came in, and the millennials have connected the dots with just how corrupt this system is, with the especially with the corruption of the political process and Citizens United. Our membership in DSA went from 5,000 members to to 47,000 members just over the past year. Wow. So I recommend that people join, and you could go to dsa.us.org, and the main point or platform, of course, is Medicare for All, abolish ICE, a green New Deal, so we can create millions of clean energy jobs, transitioning away from fossil fuels. And but you can learn more by going to dsa.usa.org.
Is that usa.org or us.org?
Yeah, dsa.usa.org.
Okay.
And a lot fired with the election, with the victory that Alexandria Cortez had in the Bronx, and they were just out in Kansas in the Koch brothers territory, and it was thousands of people turned out. So as far as the thought that this state is a red state and this state is a blue state, especially since millennials are now outnumbered the baby boomers, and the fact that the majority of millennials now are accepting of socialism or democratic socialism, there is an opportunity that we could transform the Democratic Party, or just transform this system with millennials if they participate. So there is hope. We are up against global warming and extreme weather events, climate change. We're dealing with inequality, mass incarceration. We have 3,000 babies locked in cages at the border. We have a rise of fascism. But I believe that the majority of people are good and decent people, and that if we organize and mobilize and register voters, and we could possibly turn this thing around. So there is hope. There is hope.
Okay, I want to thank you
very much. There is hope. That's right.
When we were hippies, we used to say no hope without dope. That was really irrelevant. I want to point that out. Now marijuana is commercialized, and it doesn't seem to make much difference.
Well, we'll see. It's early days for that. All right. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9, alternative radio journalist and author Jeremy Scahill says American journalism can go one of two ways, truth or propaganda. At 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines.
Wait a minute.
News
it's already been propaganda. It is propaganda.
Well, you can tune in at 9 and hear some more.
Okay.
At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, D-May features artists from the 20th annual Just Add Water Playwrights Festival happening this weekend. And at 11:30, on Art Focus, the Portland Art Museum's curator of modern and contemporary art talks about the new exhibition of drawings and paintings from artist Richard Diebenkorn. Apologies for pronunciation. All this and more coming up today on KBOO 90.7 FM. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Program. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We're talking about all kinds of things today. You can also
mainly the environment.
Mainly the environment. You can reach us over the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. Also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe, where Kate writes in to say, this is not the year to vote your conscience. Vote Democrat.
Yeah, you know, it's a weird situation. It's a pragmatic situation. The thing to do now, the thing that I believe is necessary, is to smash the power of the Republican dominance. And that is the greatest contradiction we face at this moment. It doesn't mean that the solution will be with the Democratic Party.
No.
God knows.
But that's the first order of
business.
But
it's the first order of business. Yeah. And you got to look at what's first and then what's next and so on.
And then we'll get on to smashing patriarchy and dismantling white privilege.
Oh, that is
see,
so good.
This is
good.
Easy road in front of
you. Yeah,
me.
Right.
All right. Who's next? Harvey, good morning.
Hi there. Well, I'd like to talk about President Trump's lack of intelligence and his perception of the future. And as we all know, he and his administration are a wholly owned subsidiary of the fossil fuel industry. And he has repeatedly said that climate change isn't real. And the deadly combination of climate change and sea level rise will devastate some of the president's own real estate holdings in the U.S. and abroad. For example, Trump's Turnberry Golf Course in Ayrshire, mm-hmm. and Trump International Golf Links in Aberdeenshire in Scotland are both seaside golf courses, and his Palm Beach estate, Mar-a-Lago, plus 15 Trump hotels, 9 of which are on coastal locations. Why would President Trump put his own real estate empire in harm's way by demanding an increase in America's use of fossil fuels that are driving worldwide temperatures to new heights and melting the Earth's polar caps? Why would he destroy the very source of his family's wealth that took two generations to build? So my question is, how is he going to take care of us and our nation when he doesn't seem to be mentally capable of taking care of his own financial interests?
That's a great question. The first answer might be that he doesn't believe in global warming, and therefore it doesn't matter. And secondly,
hey, I got a better answer.
Hey, wait. Secondly, the source of his family's wealth might have been real estate at one point, but lately it's been money from Russian oligarchs. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But the thing is, and this is something very hard for ordinary people like you and I to understand, this guy is phenomenally stupid.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You're the stupidest president we've had since...
Since W.
No, since the first Johnson.
Since the first Johnson. All right, let's go back to the phones. George, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to affirm something that I think Joe said earlier, maybe, and he was emphasizing something which really is the international character of this monster capital and the religious... I think you call it totemism.
I have a theological, psychological theory. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I might write a paper on it, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think it's something that is, it becomes so widespread and so deeply ingrained in people. And I wanted to mention an old book, which you have probably heard of, by Charles Edward Russell from 1910, I think. It's called Why I Am a Socialist. And he talks at length in the book on several different places about the international character of and the ominous development of these competing centers of capital, and they have no regard for life.
No, I do know the book. I actually read it, and you're right. That was something seen quite early on.
So that's all I had, and thanks for giving a vote of approval to Charles Edward Russell, long gone, but his great book, Why I Am a Socialist, is worth reading. Thank you.
Yeah,
Dan, thanks very much.
I'm going to throw something out here, just to throw it out. Mm-hmm. War with Iran. The crazy president tweeted that he wanted to have a war with Iran.
Yeah, I think that was sort of a pay no attention to the man behind the curtain moment.
Except that he's trying to get the attention away from the Russia probe.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, he'll make a war do it. I mean, he's
a
crazy guy.
In what might be modern history's, one of modern history's great moments of irony, somebody on Twitter this weekend dug up a tweet that President Trump tweeted back when Obama was president that said, are you ready for this?
Okay.
In order to get elected, Obama would start a war with Iran.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Dale, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have to do a full disclosure. I have a show there on KBOO.
Okay. What's your show?
We'll forgive you
What's
for
your
that.
Show and when is it?
It's called Valley Views. It's about the Willamette Valley, mid-Willamette Valley issues going on here in the Corvallis, Albany, Philomath area.
Uh-huh. Hey, cool. And when can people hear that?
Well, they can hear it on Friday mornings, every Friday from 10 a.m. to 10:15 a.m.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Now, I'm intimately involved with a political campaign right now, and it is with a person, actually it's my husband, who is running as an independent. Not independent with a capital I, like, because there's a party here in Oregon called the Independent Party, but he's unaffiliated with any party.
Ah.
And I'm not going to say his name here because I'm, you know, I don't want to blur any lines, but I can speak to this issue. The DSA is a very, I agree with the former caller, DSA is a growing movement. We personally have a lot of youth supporting my husband, and they happen to be members of DSA here locally.
Mm.
And the statement about getting behind a Democrat, just, I have to kind of modify that a little bit. If there's someone who is unaffiliated or independent and truly is a progressive candidate, get behind that person. Because if the Democrat may not necessarily be there, And especially if it's not, if the independent person is not going to be a vote splitter, you know, Republicans are sitting out some of these local elections because they just, I wouldn't say they're hiding their head in shame. It's not about that. But they know they won't win, at least some of the elections around here. And so if there's a choice of someone who was truly progressive and, you know, I'd say more experienced and, you know, just thinking more worldly than a Democratic candidate, by all means, go for the independent one, you know. And I understand what you're saying about, you know, getting behind a Democratic candidate if, you know, and try to work with them. And I do agree with that, that can happen in some cases. But then it's, you know, I really would like to see this country get out of this trench of the two-party system. And I would have said this before my husband was even involved with elections, but it's just this two-party system is just deadly. It just gives us a bad choice or a worse choice. And, you know, we just need to get out of that. That's just my opinion.
Okay. I do thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. All right, who's next?
Terry,
good morning.
Ah, good morning,
Harry,
gentlemen.
Sorry.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm really worried about our environment, especially with Trump in office, and especially what's going on with the oceans. This week on the Discovery Channel is Shark Week.
Ah, good old Shark Week.
Yeah, Shark Week with Shaquille O'Neal. So,
sorry.
Yeah, he's the host.
Yeah.
And right. So
he'd be a good piece of meat for a shark.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And what's going on is over 100 million sharks are being killed each year by fishermen. And of course, shark fin soup is a great delicacy, and they're using their meat and everything else. But what's going on with the sharks? And also, we're using our oceans as a dumping ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at what's going on. Fukushima is still putting radiation into the ocean.
Well, and look at garbage. All the plastic that's out there. All the incredible waste that is swirling around in great oceans and landing on the land now.
Definitely, and also overfishing. I mean, the cod industry in the Atlantic Ocean has been going on for for thousands of years has collapsed, and you know, and it's causing all type issues are with the oceans. And now that at the Arctic Ocean is being freed up from ice, killer whales are going up there, and they're having a time because all the whale nurseries and the seals and stuff aren't used to killer whales being up. They haven't been up there for over 20,000 years. So there's a big, huge change going on in our environment.
No, you're absolutely right. A lot of changes, some of them unpredictable, many of them predictable. And the thing that is so terrifying is that the wealthy class in America doesn't seem to give a damn.
Yeah, true. And my next point is the last caller mentioned about we have a two-party system,
mm-hmm.
and I think one of the solutions would be like the socialist wing of the Republican Party, the socialist wing of the Democrat Party. There's only two parties, so you have to be in both to be effective.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a socialist wing of the Republican Party, though.
Yeah, but there should be.
Okay.
You know, and so they can get the views, so these Republicans who are conservatives can get the views of other people, and if you're in their party, that's the only way you can take their views to them.
Well, I think it's an interesting point. I think that what's happening, though, in America is, and it's been going on for a long time, most people are not politically conscious. And if they vote, they vote, and that's the degree of their consciousness. And they vote within the construct of the two-party system. The larger questions of how to manage a society really are not part of the normal discussion. We aren't taught about it in school. It's not a part of our rational discourse for the most of us. And the result of that is a very limited perspective, not left to right, but this to that. And it's just not adequate to the current crisis. And when in fact, the Democrats fail in the political process, which is what happened to Hillary, for a variety of reasons, many of them not her fault, when that went down, this opened the way to this insanity within the Republican Party, and the Republicans seem to believe anyone who will win for them is okay. And that's very scary and immoral.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, it's, I mentioned earlier how we are primates, right? And there are those.
Well, you seem to love that.
Well, it's true. It's true.
I'm not a primate.
Yeah, you know, the Western civilization for many, many years considered ourselves, didn't even consider humans to be animals, right? You know that.
We're gods.
No. We're primates, and there are those of us who always will want to be the biggest, baddest monkey in the
room. Wait, we're not gods?
No, we're not.
Oh.
There's always somebody who wants to be the biggest, baddest monkey in the room, and we also tend to be very tribal in our affiliations and our allegiances.
Yes.
So you say that, you know, the other side, they don't care as long as they can put up a candidate who wins. And that's true as far as it goes, but it's also vitally important that that candidate, whoever he or she happens to be, plays for the right team and ticks the right sort of tribal markers.
Well, that's right? True. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, in fact, what's happening right now is that the last holdout, the last stand against the rising tide of persons of color and different ethnicities, different belief systems, is overwhelming. It's frightening. The standard of the pure white mythos that used to dominate American politics and has still a major role to play.
Right, exactly. Why did so many heads spontaneously combust when Barack Obama took the oath of office?
Yeah.
I think we all know why.
Right. All no, right. No question.
Let's go back to the phones. No callers. Looks like we've...
We burned it down.
We burned it down.
I knew we would do that sooner or later.
All right, Joe. What's our path forward then?
About what?
About everything. How do we, let me tick them off here. How do we preserve the environment and the conditions that led to our own evolution? How do we redeem our institutions of government from the corruption in which they are mired? How do we free the machinery of government from the influence of money? How do we create a society that is warm and welcoming to everyone, especially those populations who have been traditionally underrepresented and oppressed? How do we do all those things?
Well, it's a long and difficult struggle, which I'm not going to answer the answer to all those questions right now. I'm going to go to the phones.
Oh, fine. Good morning. Who's up?
Mike.
Mike, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'm still tripping on the mushroom-eating monkeys.
I don't know whether it's true or not, but I like the image.
Well, I want to postulate that if we don't blow ourselves up and kill ourselves, maybe we aren't the highest form of life. Maybe we will evolve to something more.
Evolution is generally a progressive thing, and I assume that human beings, in the great scheme of things, if they survive, will evolve.
Yeah, well, let's hope so.
Or something.
But the monkeys evolved us. Who's to say that we're the highest form? Maybe if we don't kill
ourselves... Could be a snail. Could be a snail.
No, now we're talking higher life forms here, but maybe you're right, you know. Now you really got me going. Okay, Joe, thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, we're getting a little silly.
We are getting a little silly. Well, we'd like to tackle the big questions on this show from time to time.
Absolutely,
right?
Important. Absolutely crucial. No, earlier when I posited my theo / cultural explanation for the desire for wealth, that it creates a notion of immortality. I think that's a valid thought. It's not the whole of it, but it's an important aspect.
I'll give you that much.
And sure. And I think that the whole notion of dynastic wealth and power is a replacement for the old feudal system that we have evolved in this society. And this is a fundamental problem. It's both an intellectual problem and a power problem.
Yeah.
And until we are willing to acknowledge the notion of democracy in everyone's life, we're going to have a lot of problems with that.
I would agree.
And beside all that, hey, there's a ruling class. Duh. And the ruling class right now is dominated by idiots.
Yes, mostly white male idiots. Let's be honest.
Well,
about that.
I'm not sure they're always male.
They're mostly white. They're mostly male. Ruling class.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with that.
Okay, good. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I asked that rather large and, let's admit, facetious question a few minutes ago. How do we move forward on this? I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody who knows. But there are some short-term steps that we can take. And the first item on that list is to vote these bastards out.
Okay, I agree with you. And dare to struggle, dare to win.
We'll be back at you next week.
It's coming from the field.
but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, journalist and author Jeremy Scahill says American journalism can go one of two ways, truth or propaganda. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And 11 on Stage and Studio, D-May features artists from the 20th annual Just Add Water Playwrights Festival happening this weekend. At 11:30 on Art Focus, the Portland Art Museum's curator of modern and contemporary art talks about the new exhibit of drawings and paintings from artist Richard Diebenkorn. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member of KBOO, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. The time now is 9 o'clock. Coming up next is Alternative Radio. This is KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the second annual International Self-Care Day celebration on Tuesday, July 24th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Pela in Portland. International Self-Care Day is observed to remember that the benefits of self-care are lifelong and can be experienced 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Three local women authors, Javelin Hardy, Cinda Stevens Longsway, and Angel Charmaine, will share their unique experiences of trauma turned into empowerment. Again, that's the second annual International Self-Care Day celebration on Tuesday, July 24th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Pela on the third floor of the Lloyd Center Mall in Northeast Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Onion Music Festival starting July 28th at Sunnyside Outdoor Event Space in Washougal, Washington. The Onion Music Festival features a three-day lineup of musicians, artists, installations, and vendors. Performers include the fabulous Downey Brothers, The Fur Coat, Night Heron, Atta B.